That barbecue grill is no longer working as well as it did in the beginning of the summer. Get it repaired with the Handy Guys.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together to complete that honey-do list, featuring answers to your questions and head-to-head tool challenges. Let's get started with the show with the Handy Guys, Brian and Paul.
All right, welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, episode number 24. And on this show, we are going to feature barbecuing, barbecue grills, and how to fix that grill that's starting to, you know, not work so well. Right, Brian?
That's right. You know, you've been using it since the spring, and now it's midsummer. 4th of July is just right around the corner.
Labor Day's coming up.
Or maybe you're listening to this in the winter. Who knows? But
when's Arbor Day? Do you need the grill for Arbor Day?
Arbor Day. I don't know. I don't celebrate Arbor Day.
Boxer Day. Hey, it doesn't matter. You know, we like to grill
Boxing
on every
Boxing Day
occasion.
Is a Canadian holiday.
It's, that's all right.
It's the day after Christmas.
Get the burgers out. I'm ready to party. So it doesn't matter what the occasion is. We love the barbecue. We love to get outside and, you know, get those burgers. Get
when
the
grill is working, though.
Right. But the problem is, if the grill's not working so well, then you can have problems. And I'm not ready, and most of Americans who with $4 and plus gasoline aren't ready to go out and buy a new grill. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do that, let's give out our contact information.
Very good. You can always call us at area code 615-676-0877 or visit our website, handyguyspodcast.com, and click on the contact tab at the top of the page and fill out that little form, and it'll send us an email, or you can always just email us directly. At us at handyguyspodcast.com.
All right, Brian, as we talk about grills, there's one thing that I want to point out, and that is that we got some cool grill products right on our Handy Guys Podcast store. So if you're looking to enhance your grilling experience and get yourself some nice tools, I know you know that Father's Day has passed us by, but maybe you didn't get that nice stainless steel grill set. And you want to get it, you can check it out on our store, right?
That's right. It'll be featured up on the front page of the store. We found, we did some research and some shopping for you, so you don't need to wade through all the myriad of options. And the kit that we came up with was made by Weber, and they make a lot of different grills and so forth. And it's a professional grade 3-piece stainless steel tool set. Now there's lots of 11-piece and 12-piece
right.
and 7-piece sets, you know what I mean? But really the key tools that you need when you're grilling, you need your spatula, you know, to flip the
right.
burgers.
Exactly.
You need a fork and you need a tongs. You
right.
know, the tongs to turn the burgers. And
what
the
other tools would you need? I imagine if you get the 11-piece, you just use 3 pieces. If you get the 5-piece, you use 3 pieces.
That's right. You know, sometimes yeah. I use a little brush, you
right.
know, to brush on some
sure.
barbecue sauce or something, but it doesn't need to be some fancy That's, grill brush.
No,
to do
the
that.
$15 paintbrush will do.
Right. The Purdy. We talked yeah, about that on a,
exactly.
one of our first
Just
episodes.
Make sure you clean it when you're done. You
know? Right.
So, all right. So you got your tools. And the nice thing I like about these tools, the stainless steel tools, is they are just that. They're completely stainless steel. They don't have the wood handles. I've noticed that my wood handle on the tool that I use, my mess brush I use for cleaning, I was showing my wife the other day, the handle itself has like some sort of moss growing on it or something, some sort of like mold or moss or something. You know, I've left it outside and, you know, I don't know what's growing on it and I certainly don't want to eat it. So,
right. Well, these you can just throw them in the dishwasher
All
and
right.
You're good to go.
All right. So check it out there on our store. But let's talk about grills. And, you know, Brian, you know, a lot of people have a grill and they have it out on their deck or out on their porch and, you know, it seems like after a few years, it just doesn't seem to be grilling as well. And sometimes you turn it on and those steaks that used to take just, you know, 5 minutes are just not getting cooked right. And you notice, you know, maybe it's burning uneven, you know, the right side
mm-hmm,
of the grill, it's,
mm-hmm.
it works well. The left side, not so good. The front works well, but not the back. And in a lot
you
of cases...
You seem to have a lot of experience with that. Did you have some issues with your grill, Paul?
Oh, yeah. I had my parents over a few weeks ago and it was kind of a windy day and the back of the grill wouldn't light at all. And the front of the grill lit, but it wasn't working so good. And it took me quite a while to heat up hamburgers and hot dogs, something simple like that. So I realized that I probably needed some new parts on my grill. I don't have the scratch to go out and buy myself a new Weber gas grill, which is what I own.
Well, maybe so, if all of our listeners go and buy those, you know, that that tool set for the grill, maybe we'll have enough scratch. We can go buy
that's
another,
right.
you yeah. can go buy another grill.
There you go. Well, I took your advice, Brian. I know when I was working on my my washing machine, you told me to go out and check the internet, look for parts, and that's what I did. But it wasn't as easy as you might think. I went out on the internet and I realized I most likely needed a new burner. My burner wasn't operating. That's one of the key components of your grill.
And they tend to rust out easily.
Yes. They rust out easily. They tend to go after a while. How do you know it's going well? You don't get as much flame, as much heat. In my case, it has the actual burner is essentially just two tubes, one on the front, one on the back with a whole bunch of holes in it that let out the gas. And then there's a third smaller tube that is transfers the flame from the front to the back. So in other words, when you turn on the back burner, all it does is the flame follows the gas in that smaller tube across to the back one, and it bridges the two.
Okay.
So I realized that...
So when you turn it, your gas on, you have two knobs?
Yes.
And one is front and one is back?
Right. Pretty simple.
Okay, because mine is three knobs,
right.
Left, middle, and center.
Right, so I only have... Center, I have right. a smaller grill, and it only has a front and a back, and when it wouldn't always light on the back, I figured it's just the burner. It's got to be the burner. So I went out and I wanted to get original, you know, OEM parts for my grill. Why?
OEM?
Original equipment manufacturer, right?
Okay, so right from the vendor.
I wanted Weber parts, or at least I wanted parts that certainly fit as well as the Weber, worked as well as the Weber, and hopefully said Weber on them so I knew that they were Weber parts.
And that they'd fit properly.
Right.
And all that. Right.
So... Yeah, I didn't want to mess with any generics. I didn't want to mess with, you know, so-called, you know, parts that fit but are cheaper, because I didn't want to rust it out in a year. I've dealt with cheaper parts in the past. You've had some experience, haven't you, with generic burners and that
sort
of thing?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a generic gas grill, too, but I put some generic parts on it and that I got at the home center, and it wasn't quite the right fit. They didn't quite work, even though they said they would, and... that can lead to an unsafe situation. I had essentially flames shooting out of this thing. The house didn't burn
any,
down.
Any sirens or fire?
But I did have not quite an uncontrolled flame, but I was unable to regulate the flame as it should have been. And I couldn't get OEM replacement parts because it was a kind of a crappy grill, and ended up wasting the money on those parts and just threw the grill away.
Right. Okay. So I wanted to get... Now, the problem was, you think it would be easy, right, Brian? And this is the digital age. I can go out and get Google. I can search my parts. I had a Weber a silver grill, and that part was easy. I had no problem. You know, I could just plug my model and number into certain sites. I could find the parts, no problem. That was easy. I could go to Weber itself. Go to Weber.com, and they had parts. But you know me, you know, I want to get the best price. So
sure.
I started searching around, went to different websites, and I found different prices for the same, you know, what appeared to be the same thing. But what was tricky is that certain sites would package together the burner parts. So there were several components to the burners, the front and the back and the transfer piece. And some would package, you know, sell them separately. Some would sell them all together. So you'd have different prices. Then what I would find is certain websites would have a cheaper price than others, but you found out that they charge for shipping, and others would have a little bit of a steeper price, what would
right,
appear,
right.
but they had free shipping. And then you had other sites that had a different price, but they had a set fee for shipping anywhere in the continental U.S., and another site that had different fees based on where you live. So it was
you almost have to do a whole spreadsheet of all the different vendors and what their different costs are and figure it out. And
I actually considered doing that and putting it on our website. And I actually communicated with the vendor that I thought had the best deal going, not only in price, but in customer service. And how do I determine if a company may have good customer service? Well, you're never 100% sure.
If they've got a phone number, that's a good indication.
Yeah. There were some sites that had no phone number, period, end of story. If you wanted to contact them, you had to fill out a contact form. Now, that's not necessarily terrible that you have to fill out a contact form if they're responsive. But it bothered me a little bit that they had no choice for a phone number anywhere on their site. So... You know, even the Handy Guys podcast has a phone number. You know, you might
That's
just
right.
get voicemail, but we got a phone number.
Right, and we will call you back if you call us.
That's right. So you know, there was some particular site that one that not only listed their phone number but had pictures of all their customer service employees. You know, I thought that was pretty neat. They were just a storefront down in Florida, and for some reason, a lot of these barbecue parts places are somewhere in the South. But maybe because barbecuing is bigger down there, you know, they can they have a longer barbecuing season, I suppose. But I found a site that had a reasonable price for parts and shipping, and they were very responsive. And I was very happy. I ordered the part, the burner. They gave very simple instructions. They were Weber parts, just like they said. They were selling it cheaper than some other places, including the particular company's website,
right,
where they linked you through. And so they had the best price. They gave you original equipment parts. Now, if I didn't get Weber parts, there was a site that sold parts that fit, but it didn't list it as Weber parts, and they were significantly cheaper. But what's the problem, Brian, if you get cheaper parts?
I don't know. You might have, uncontrollable flame coming out of the thing like I did. Right.
Right. You could have, that kind of an issue, or it just doesn't last as long. You know, it could be made with cheaper metals. So I just didn't want to deal with that, because how often do you really want to change the burners on your grill? You just don't want to be doing that.
So how did that go then? I mean, did it take you very long to change the burners?
Well, no, it doesn't. And I will have some pictures of that process on our website with this post. Check it out. It was fairly simple. I have pretty clear pictures. You just remove a few screws here and there. You pull out the burners and you add the new ones. Now, what I did find in doing this is that my flavor bars, which are, you know, most modern grills no longer have the lava rock anymore. They actually have flavor bars.
It's just pieces of metal to keep the drippings from hitting the burners, right?
So, I guess so you get the flavor from your previous, burgers that you cut.
I guess.
I don't really get it. But they have flavor bars, and my flavor bars were really rusted. They were falling apart. I mean, a couple of them were, they're triangular pieces, and I put them back in because I haven't yet purchased new flavor bars, but I'm now getting the flavor of rust, I think, on my food. Is that a flavor? I don't know. Maybe if our listeners can call in or email us if they know what the flavor of rust is. But
okay.
So I have a toxic grill. Now, I will buy new flavor bars, but... The point is, I put in the new burners, and it is working great. It lights up fast. The back burner comes on, no problem. It cooks fast. It's great. Now, the question is, as I was getting in there and looking at the different parts, I discovered that there are some other things that can easily go wrong with your grill. What are some key parts that you may need to replace on a grill?
Well, you've got your igniter.
Right.
I think that may be a very common... And there, I might not hesitate to put in a generic one, that you just pick up at the home center or something like that.
You can get it a new igniter, or you can just get a match, or one of the strikers. And if you like, mine has a hole in it in the bottom, so I can still use if the igniter's not working. It's nice to have the igniter. Don't get me wrong, but you do have that option on many grills.
I would guess also, like you said, your flavor bars, or maybe you've got actually grilling surface itself may get really rusted if you've got just a metal one. What about the valves? I don't know if they would go bad, or is that part of the burner? That's not part of the burner assembly.
I don't think they typically go bad. I think that stuff is you're pretty good shape. But...
And the other stuff that tends to go bad is just more cosmetic, like handles and wheels and, if you've got a shelf or something like that, that stuff starts to look pretty ratty after a while.
Right.
But,
All right, Brian, we've talked about how to repair a grill. We've kind of done this show backwards. Up next, let's talk about how to buy a grill and what to look for in a good gas grill.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question about the repair, first of all. About what did the repair cost you in dollars and in time?
Oh, good question. I think it was, $35, $40 bucks for a burner, but
Okay, so under $50 bucks.
Yes.
For a grill that would have cost $400, maybe.
$300, yeah.
Yeah, $300, $400 to replace.
Yep.
So, and grills these days are even more and more expensive. I was just looking at a couple of them in preparation for this show. There's the newer version, maybe a little larger than what you have, is $700.
Right.
And maybe the one that you have is about $400. So they can get pretty darn expensive.
All right, Brian, well, let's talk about the what it, you know, just buying a new grill, what are some key features, how you buy a new grill,
well, the
whether
first
it's
thing
gas
you got
or
is,
charcoal, that kind of thing.
That's the first thing you need to decide, Paul, is are you going to go gas or are you going to go charcoal? There's a lot of purists out there that say the only way to grill is with charcoal.
Right. But you can't just get, you know, some of the purists, you can't even get, like, you know, the Kingston charcoal. You got to get the true
hickory charcoal briquettes or whatever they are instead of the Kingsford whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. I was in the charcoal mode for a number of years before I moved to this house where we're at now, and then I finally got a gas grill. And did many a cookout. And I had one of the Weber kettle grills, and that worked really well. You know, you gotta just plan for it and tie, you know, make sure you leave enough time for it to get hot and that you can cook before the charcoal
so the gas
burns
grill,
down.
The gas grill gives you the convenience.
The factor, convenience, right.
Which is a huge factor, you know, in our busy lives.
That's right.
So, okay, let's...
And plus on the gas grills, you tend to be able to find a larger grilling surface.
Sure.
As well. So you can get more burgers on there or more bigger steaks or more steaks or, well, you know, a wider variety of things.
Well, let's talk about that. How do we buy, you know, I want to go out and buy a gas grill. I decide my grill is not worth repairing or I don't own one. What are some things I need to look at?
I think the biggest criteria, at least for me, when I bought my gas grill just about a year and a half ago, was the size of the grilling surface and the overall construction quality. I think those were the criteria that I was using primarily. And also what that grilling surface was made of. You've got stainless steel, you've got cast iron, and then you've got like a porcelain-coated steel or porcelain-coated cast iron, which is what I got. And that supposedly gives you really good even grilling and helps with the quality of what you're grilling. Not that I'm a real grill master, but it seems to be working well for me.
Sure. And then size. You know, it's unbelievable. It used to be, you know, you would just get these smaller type grills, and now you walk into the
Remember
home
the hibachis
yeah.
when we were, you know, young? Yeah. You know, that's all we had. Oh. And you'd get, like, you know, four burgers on there if you're lucky, right?
Now you go into the home center and you get these things you could, you know, you could sleep on, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they're huge.
So, and, you know, the prices is, you know, is unbelievable.
Right. So, and then there's all these accessories as well.
Yeah,
let's
talk about that.
Well, what about a side burner?
Yeah, a side burner is nice if you need to, you know, place like your son's baseball glove or something because you never use the side burner.
What about the baseball glove?
You know, you can just, it becomes a shelf for whatever you want to put on it because
well,
I'm not sure.
Having a side shelf on your grill is nice, but
exactly. It doesn't
why
need
the
to
extra
be a burner?
Expense of the burner?
Yeah,
right?
I don't know because I don't know that anyone ever uses it.
Right.
I'm not suggesting you cook baseball gloves.
Okay.
But my point is, if you get a side burner, it becomes, you know, a shelf to store stuff you know, they use because you don't actually cook things on it. I don't know. Maybe there's someone out there that does. Let us know if you do.
I'm sure people do. I mean, one of the things we like to have when we're grilling out is corn on the cob.
Right.
It goes great with burgers and hot dogs and all that. And the corn on the cob is either in a pot on the stove inside, or sometimes we'll wrap up the corn in some tin foil and a little butter and salt and pepper and actually in the tin foil, grill it right on the grill.
And sweet corn is going to be harvested here in the next couple of weeks in
That's
the local
right.
area here.
And some people even will grill it right in the husk. And then, but I don't like to deal with the little silky hairs and all that on the grills. But...
You're listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, so our recommendation on the side burner?
Skip the side burner unless you really think you have a need for it or know you're going to use it. And rotisseries is another one of those gadgets that they try to sell you, and I've never seen anybody use one of those.
Well, wasn't the, who has this, the chicken restaurant, Kenny Rogers, doesn't he have a rotisserie chicken?
Yeah, are you going to cook rotisserie chicken in your backyard, Paul?
I don't know if Kenny Rogers can do it. I can do it.
I think he's out of business now.
Yeah. Good point, yeah.
All right. I think the last couple of things maybe we want to talk about is a lot of these are stainless steel now, and there's different qualities of stainless steel.
Sure.
And some of the real low-end thin stainless steel still actually can rust.
So the reason you'd get the stainless steel is that you can, if it's outside in the elements, it'll avoid the rust. But you're saying that some of it doesn't quite do the job.
There's different levels, and I forget the numbers. I should have this down, but it's 430 grade and 304 grade. I think the 304 grade is the better one. Don't hold me to that, but you can tell it's either going to be flimsy or it's going to be solid.
Right.
And get a cover for your grill, and that'll help it last. I have a cover for mine. I try to keep it on there, but sometimes things are cooling down and you don't put the cover on and then it rains. And
I have to admit, I haven't covered mine.
Maybe that's why your burner's rusted out, Paul.
Every year. I'm sure that might have something to do with it, but I will say that the shell of the thing has held up very well. I will also say that I know... there is an argument that some people will make, and maybe they're right, I don't know, it depends, that instead of buying, spending a lot of money on a better brand to get the cheaper models, and yeah, it won't last as long, but you may be better off in the long run just continuing buying cheaper grills. It's possible, but I will say with my Weber grill, which cost me, I bought it, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, it wasn't cheap, but I can get parts for it because it's a name brand. It had no problem spending the $30-$40 getting a new burner. Now I'm right back and it's working great. So I feel comfortable with my purchase that even though I spent some more money, here I am 5-6 years later, no problem getting parts.
Yeah, I think that's going to be key is get a decent one, get one that's well made and don't go for all the frills. Just get the size that you need and you'll be good to go.
All right. We have anything else on grills?
I think that's it.
All right, so have fun with your burgers, your steaks, your chicken.
Happy 4th of July, by the way.
That's right.
Tomorrow.
That's right. And we will be back. Hopefully you get an opportunity to listen to this podcast on this holiday weekend, and we will be back next week with another edition of the Handy Guys Podcast.
Right. What are we talking about next week?
I don't remember.
We're talking about next week...
Circsaws?
No, jigsaws.
Jigsaws, that's right. We'll be... doing a tool test with a lower end, I think it's a skill saw versus a higher end Bosch.
That's right. So jigsaw. You can listen into that. And
we'll also be answering a listener email. And in addition, if you have any questions you want to email us, we'll try to include it on a future show.
That's right. And we always get back to you. We may not always use your question on the air on one of our shows, but we'll always respond to you. With a question or with an answer to your question.
So until next time with the Handy Guys, I'm Paul.
I'm Brian.
Talk to you then.
Thanks.